I'm Chase.
And I'm Timothy.
And this is Customer Service.
How are you doing, Chase?
Good, good, good. Busy over this way. How about you?
Feeling great. Very excited about today's episode.
Yeah.
Not to jump right in, not to do our little fluff, but this is an exciting episode because we are both massive fans.
Yeah.
This is our... Well, I guess we would have just had a musician on, but we're kind of in our musician era right now.
Yeah.
Leading up to Taylor Swift in December.
And Travis Kelce. He'll also come on the podcast
as a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to be like a couples therapy episode. Yeah. That's just something to look forward to.
I'm Orna.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. So this is Will Anderson from Hotline TNT,
yep.
A band I've loved for ages now, back when all the records were, like, their EPs were just on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I would come in and show... Chase, I'm like, you got to listen to this. Yeah. I know you got to do it on YouTube, or you have to like request a MediaFire download or something. And it was, we just loved the record. We played it a million times in here.
Fireman's Carry, just to shout it out.
That was the one that really hit for us. But I've loved everything they've worked on. I've been rocking with them since always. And I think that like, as far as like younger, more underground bands that I think are making a huge difference to like a bigger scene, I mean, I would put these guys at the top.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is I don't want to waste any time. It's a fun conversation.
Talk music, video games,
basketball,
sports,
yeah.
Online shit, just being on the internet in general. So
yeah, so this is it's a fun episode. I was so glad to get them on. This is we were hoping that they would reach back out, and we finally were able to lock it down.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's get into it with Will. This is a fun one.
Yep, cool. Let's hop right into it.
Good, bro. We're huge fans of the band.
Yeah, this is. Yeah.
Thanks, Gus. I have to be honest, I'm not familiar with the company, but some of the other bandmates are. Halen couldn't make it. He's still recovering from his dental issues. So,
Don't worry about it.
He wanted to be here, but.
But they've heard of the store?
Yeah, Lucky and Halen are both aware of the store. But
very cool, yeah, not, man. So. We can give you like a quick. We're Canoe Club. We're out of Boulder, Colorado. We do like men's clothing, so it's like mostly like Japanese, like pretty like niche small brands. Yeah. It's like not purposefully from Japan, but a lot of them end up being from Japan. It's pretty niche stuff, but it's like really culty and it's cool. It's like supporting like. Like artists, basically.
Yeah.
So we've been doing it for like 7 years now, and then I did it in Chicago just with a different company for like, I don't know, like 10 years before that. So this is kind of all I've ever done. It's like a pretty specific thing, but the right type of people know what we're up to.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
And then we started this pod about a year ago so that we could just talk to people that we wanted to talk to.
Yeah, yeah.
I.e. you and other individuals in the periphery. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like doing podcasts. I've been doing a few more of them lately. It's pretty fun.
Cool. Hell
yeah.
Are you doing a lot of like promotion for the record or touring, or what are you promoting right now?
Well, the record's been out for since November. So yeah. I mean, we're still trying to pump people up on it, of course.
Yeah.
But we do have a big tour coming up in a couple of weeks, and then another one right after that in Europe. So
shit.
Yeah.
Have you done Europe before?
Yeah, we did two mainland tours, and then we did one UK tour right when the album came out as well.
Yeah.
So we've been there a bunch, but more on the way.
Have you done like Asia at all? Have you done like Japan specifically? I'm asking because when we were in Japan recently, we were talking to these two guys that were like, we were working on like working within this brand, and we were doing this like tea ceremony, and we were kind of having troubles because the language barrier was pretty severe, but like the one kid was doing okay, and we're like, I don't know, we got to find something to connect on. And we're like, what kind of music are you guys into? And they were like, kind of bringing up some stuff. And we're like, have you heard of this band Hotline Tintin? They're like, yeah, yeah, we love it. And I was like, shit, I don't know if they've ever toured out here, but.
No, it's in the works. We are definitely, we all really want to go there. And I tried to go as a, just a, by myself back in March, but some band stuff came up and I had to cancel my trip, but I've never been. And it's top of the list of where we want to tour. So I think it's going to happen.
I'm sure touring, but just because like anything that like you can imagine being into, like if you're like passionate about any given thing, it's there to like the craziest degree. Like it just exists there at the highest level. So like if you're like, you know, I'm into like guitar gear and shit, and like that's at like a crazy level there. And I'm in, you know, all the music stuff that's, you know, I can't think of any like type of music you could get into. Like we went to, oh no, we didn't make it, but we were trying to go to like a Spaceman 3 like bar, like that's all they do, like that's the whole fucking thing. Like, and it's like it's been there for like 12 years, and that's like they only play that music, and it's pretty like wild, and that's just in Kyoto. So it's really like it's sick for that reason. Like no matter what you're down for, they're into at the most extreme collecting level. Plus like it's like free, dude. It's like I don't know how to express like how inexpensive all the experiences are. Like we ate at like the nicest place we could in Kyoto, and I think we paid 78. We ordered like everything. It was like $78 for two people.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to see it if I ever get there, and I'm actively trying to make it happen. So I'll probably ask you guys for some tips when the time comes.
Yeah, dude. Please. Yeah, absolutely. Very cool, man. Where are you from originally?
I was born in a small town called Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Oh, so yeah. I'm from Indiana. He's from Ohio. My business partner is from Chicago. I lived in Chicago for a long time too. And then his wife, and then his business that he had, which was Shot Bop, if you've ever heard of that, being from Wisconsin, was in Madison. And then she was from
Appleton. Yeah.
So we're like all. And then we had another partner. I forget where she was from.
One of them was like Rock Creek or something.
Yeah, Rockdale or something. Yeah. So
not
yeah,
Rockford, like, is it?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Sorry, my dad's from Rockford. I've been there a million times.
Yeah. We had an employee who, what would have been the term, like county mayor? He was involved in like the local politics there, in terms of like that small woodsy community. But
yeah,
county seat maybe or something. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, very cool. Where did you like grow up there too?
Yeah, I grew up. I was there for the most part, age 0 to 18. I did a little foreign exchange in high school, but pretty much I was in a small town. And then right when I graduated, I moved to Vancouver, BC.
Oh, right. On. Okay.
Bounced around a little bit, but mostly I was in Vancouver for almost 10 years, and that's where I kind of started like playing in bands and stuff like that.
Very cool. What's the scene like there? Similar to like the, I mean, we grew up in hardcore and like the Midwest hardcore scene. So it was it kind of similar to that, or like, did they have that there or no?
They might have. I've always been more hardcore adjacent. You know, I do love going to hardcore shows, but I've not really been in a hardcore band. I mean, in a real way. But I just always was going to those shows, but still kind of playing more, you know, indie rock and shoegaze style music, but I seem to have been accepted by that community somewhat. But I like didn't even get into hardcore really until I was into college, and like I said, I wasn't directly a part of it, more of just like a on the sidelines kind of guy. So the scene in Vancouver, I don't know, it was it worked for me. I feel like I kind of I definitely was part of like an active part of the community, and like there was other bands that were doing similar things to what I was doing, and I feel like we kind of put ourselves on the map a little bit, because Vancouver can be hard to get to, like for touring bands and stuff like that, especially in the DIY world, because you got to cross the border, and if you're not, you know, it's just like Portland and Seattle are there, but then it can be tough to throw on an extra hole, like cross the border and. Yeah, that kind of thing. But yeah, we had a scene there for sure.
I had kind of a similar situation in that like our hardcore scene where I'm from is like, it was nice that it was accepting of everyone, but it kind of had to be accepting of every type of band too, because it was like, there's only so many of us at the end of the day. So whoever wants to get thrown on this like 14 person bill, you know what I mean? Can get thrown on.
Yeah.
And like, I just liked playing music and could play quite a few different things, so I'd jump in wherever anybody needed me. So I definitely played in like very much straightforward hardcore and like toured with some of those bands, but what I really liked doing was like we liked like the indie shoegaze thing, and we just played like they would just stick us first or second on those bills and nobody liked it, but but like eventually, like you kind of like you said, they sort of make your own scene at a certain point. You wait long enough and you get a few people that are interested, you meet a couple other bands that are similar to you, you kind of start your side thing. So I feel the adjacent thing. It's like I don't know. I liked both versions. I liked being part of the hardcore scene, but I also liked being, I liked playing it. Like, I don't know. We always got stuck at coffee shops and shit, which we were too loud for, but it's still fun.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, you know, Hotline has at times existed in like a, too loud for the coffee shop, too quiet for the hardcore kids. But like over time, I think both have kind of, we've found a good role, a good balance. And I don't know. There's a lot of bands in the world. And, I feel lucky that people are rocking with Hotline to the level that they are in that world. So
yeah, dude, it's really like it's grown a lot, man. Like I've followed the band for like, you know, since the YouTube days. So I feel like it's grown a lot. But you've also been able to like the sound has changed quite a bit without kind of losing the original form. You know what I mean? Like it's a little less. I don't know if maybe I'm not hearing it right or you're going to not like the way I'm describing it. I never like to comment too much on this kind of thing, but like it's a lot less like a fuzzier, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't mean like in that, because I like the fuzzy stuff obviously, but like it's cleaner, but it sounds the same. Like it's the same band.
Still
like,
recognize the tone.
Yeah. And it's just, it's like evolved in a really nice way. Was that like a conscious thing or is that just like an evolution kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much like not on purpose, but I think it just kind of makes sense. Like I think we're still, if you go to the shows, we're still like every bit as loud, if not louder than when we started. But like the records for sure, I feel like we kind of just had to clean up our act a little bit. You know, it's like how many lo-fi records can you listen to? How much can you listen to at home? You know, it's like before it just starts to get like it depends. There is a recording quality that I can listen to, you know, all day, 24 hours a day. I don't know. I think it just kind of just made sense to kind of expand, you know, the fidelity a little bit and work with different producers and kind of let people imprint onto the band a little bit. Not too much, but like, yeah, just let it grow and see how it sounds when the songs are a little cleaner and stuff like that.
On some of the initial records, were you doing most of it?
The first 7-inch was I just played guitar, and I had my friend Mickey played bass and my friend John played drums. And there was like a period between the first record and now where it turned into just me. So it was not supposed to be a solo project when it started out. It was a band.
Yeah.
And then, you know, things happened. I moved to New York, you know, COVID struck, and then it was kind of like, all right, I think I just keep this going by myself at this point.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
For whatever reason, there was always something keeping me going. Like, I'm going to make one more record. One more record. And then, now it's kind of taken over my life in a cool way. You know, it's like, now it is it's a full band again. And like, I'm still doing all the songwriting, but there's definitely more cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. Were you recording it yourself too? Like at home during that time? Like the COVID time?
COVID, yeah. So 19 and Love, the first LP was all self-recorded on GarageBands.
Jesus.
And then there's a 7-inch, a Euro 7-inch that came after that. It was all GarageBand as well.
It sounds so cool for being like all through GarageBand and shit, dude. Like it's sonically like so different than a lot of the other stuff that you hear like it. Like, you know, I think the whole like I'm sure you're the same way. I've been into shoegaze since I was young. Like that was just something that like I had an adopted older brother who was quite a bit older than me, and he got me into like all the 90s shit that like I would have kind of missed if it wasn't for him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's like how a lot of that shit started to hit, you know, like when it hit for me. And so I've been in love with that kind of music for so long. Do you like that, like, you know, because I've heard you guys be described as like one of the bands who sort of brought the shoegaze thing back, which is no question, like it is more popular than I ever saw it, you know, mm-hmm. until now. Does that feel good, or is that like not what you wanted when you started this thing?
Literally neutral, like it's totally. Yeah. I mean, I don't listen to much. I've said this in interviews before, like I don't listen to that much shoegaze, and I think it's perfectly fine that we're, I don't even want to, it sounds like I'm saying a negative term, but like we're lumped in with this American shoegaze movement, and it's fine, because I think in a way it's kind of cool, because I don't think we're really that similar to a lot of these bands that we're getting lumped in with. So then we kind of stand out because of that. It's like,
oh, word. Yeah.
I think we draw more influence from like, you know, like, I don't know, college rock and like, you know, I don't know, not shoegaze, not like, I love My Buddy Valentine, though. Definitely one of my favorite bands of all time. But other than that, you will not find a shoegaze record at my house. I won't put one on. Like that's it.
No, I mean, I get it. I mean, like, the other thing too is, like, I like all that stuff from the 90s because it's like it got stuck with me. In the same way people like love Nirvana, like, no matter what, you just can't get, you're stuck with it. You know what I mean? It's just it's embedded into your brain.
Yeah.
And I got into like all that stuff and like, you know, Smashing Pumpkins kind of like in kind of an in-betweener. Your stuff is way more like melodic to me. I understand what you're saying. Like, college rock, I think, is a perfect way to put it, to be honest with you. Like, it's somewhere in between, and it just has like influences of that. That's why I wondered, like, does it feel good? Because the fact that I saw that you guys were going to do something with, like, are you doing something with Drop 19s? You're doing a show with them?
Yeah, we're playing.
Insanely cool.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I do love some of those bands. Like, I'm not certainly not anti-shoegaze, but I think what it is like, we're very loud. We're very, you know, melodic. Yeah. The guitars are very distorted, and we have the guitars bend a lot. There's a kind of a warbly, bendy sound. Yeah. That means, okay, shoegaze. But it's like, okay, whatever you guys say. Like, that's fine. But.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's got to be cool in the sense that, like, if it's a genre you do respect. I mean, it is cool to see, like, younger kids making it and doing stuff in there, like, kind of more than ever. I think that's really cool, even though I'm not going to sit here and tell you I like every single project. But I do think it's a cool, of all genres to come back, I'm open to that one being a thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I know what you mean. You know, I mean, I've made music for a long time, you never want someone to tell you you sound like anything, if I'm being honest with you, because I'm like, that's not what I was going for at all.
It just happens, you know. It's funny because I was talking to a friend last night, and I played him some of our, we have some new demos I've been working on, and he was just like, damn, you're beating the shoegaze allegations. And I was like,
hell yeah.
We're not a shoegaze band, but it's totally, I don't care, like, whatever you want to call us is totally fine with me.
It works for you.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's still cool that, like, you know, to head any sort of, so, I mean, and whether you meant to or not, it's still cool to get compared to that, you know, especially like I said, being, you know, Drop 19s was a band I loved when I was younger and still do, obviously. And that is, that has got to be a pretty cool honor to play with them. And you played like Quicksand and shit too, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and like, I missed Quicksand the first time around. Like, I didn't grow up listening to them, but like when we got that tour, like some of the other guys, and they were like, oh my goodness, dude, I'm playing on the Quicksand. And that's how I feel about Drop 19s too. Like, I'm you know, it's, I think the Hotland TNT umbrella, you know, we're welcoming anyone, you know. We like the shoegaze kids being there, we want the hardcore kids in there, we want the, you know, the hyper pop kids, whoever wants to rock with it. It's all,
yeah, hell yeah.
I mean, I think that's the thing. It's like, it's not, it starts to be, we get a little bit of this, a very similar thing in what we do, in that, like, it's not so much, because we run a pretty, like, successful and big Discord around what we're doing, and we did that because, like, you know, we're like, forum kids from the hardcore days, and it was, like, a similar, we did, the forums existed for fashion, too, so we were involved in those. It also, you know, it's kind of all amalgamated into Discord, and the one thing I see more than anything is it's not so much that everyone dresses a certain way, or they all, like, fuck with the brands we carry or whatever. It's more, like, the way they care about it, and, like, all the bands you're talking about, Drop 19s, My Bloody Valentine, Quicksand, whatever else. I mean, when we talk about Hyperview, the same way people like Charlie XCX, is it's all the same. It's like the way that they like stuff is all that matters. And it seems like you're gathering up those types of people. So that's the best type of fans you can have, really.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to what you said. Like, you know, you were following the band from the YouTube days. And like that, I think I've gotten that a lot. And people have told me that was like an important era of the band, which I think is true for me, too. It's kind of like. Yeah. Nobody who's into Hotline TNT from those days is like an accidental fan. Like, he kind of had to like seek it out or be told about it. And
yeah,
I think it resulted in some of the fans being pretty passionate about it, which is, you know, that's what I would, when I was, well, not that I'm not anymore. Like, I still am, you know, when I was getting into bands, like, those are the kind of bands I sought out. I wanted to be like something a little bit like harder, a little left to center, a little bit underground or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, no joke, dude, we played Fireman's Carry a lot. Like, we'd have to boot up the YouTube app and play it through our Macintosh speakers and shit, but we would let it fucking
let it rip. Yeah.
It's funny, man. It's weird hearing people that, you know, I didn't even know were into it from those days, and like hearing the story about, like, yeah, I had to like keep the phone, like I had to keep touching my phone to make sure it wouldn't turn
Yeah,
off, you know, that stuff.
plugged into Apple CarPlay and just pressing it, looking through the browser.
Exactly.
I
know
listen to
exactly when it turns off in my car, if that makes sense. Like I know the exact like minute. I know what song and what minute it turns off in the car if I'm driving around, because I'd crush that record in the car and then I'd be like, oh fuck, and I gotta like, you know, you gotta redo the whole thing.
Yeah.
But like,
That's
you know,
hilarious.
I come from like, I, you know, like we're from like the DIY scenes, bro. Like I, we were, you know, if
That's
it needed
all
to
great.
Be on YouTube, then cool. That
yeah.
makes it better
all
in
good.
some way.
Exactly.
Anything that's like a little bit harder to seek out and shit, like that's, it's like that's the type of stuff I like, and that's the type of like, I mean, like I said, it's very similar to what we do. Is like we make things a little bit more difficult. Everything that we do is a pain in the ass, to be honest with you. Like bringing all the brands over that we have and everything is like, it's just one step harder, but and like it's, you have to like really be invested in what we're doing to like understand it. So it's the type of shit we really fuck with. So let me ask you a question too. If being where you're from, and I'm making an assumption here based on the fact that when I've seen live shows, I've seen you wear like jerseys and shit. Are you a sports guy? And if so, what? Because Wisconsin, people from Wisconsin are either Wisconsin, Minnesota, but then you're also you know, in Canada. Where do you do, what do you, what were you into? Hockey, basketball?
Yeah. So I'm a big sports guy. I grew up in a Minnesota sports family. Which is weird. You know, I grew up in Wisconsin, but my dad, my mom, my parents met in Minneapolis.
Okay.
My dad grew up a big Chicago Bears fan, and I assume, I don't even know if he was a Bulls. So anyway, whatever happened, when he got to Minnesota, he changed loyalties to the Vikings, the Timberwolves, Twins, and
The Wild? Are you a Wild fan?
well, the Wild wasn't even around until
Oh shit,
like I was into middle school and high school. So we were not a hockey family. But they moved to Wisconsin when I was born, and my dad just stuck with the Twin Cities. I don't know why, but I stuck with that too. And I grew up major Vikings fan, big Vikings fan, but I was way more of a basketball player. And this is like the Kevin Garnett era. So I
Yeah,
grew
hell
up,
yeah. Hell yeah.
yeah, grew up with Sprewell and Sam Cassell and those guys. And it was, you know, we'd never won a playoff series until I was like, you know, until they were basically gone. But I kind of faded away from sports in the middle school. You know, I don't know if this is probably pretty common, but like people get into music and it's like, all right, I can't be into sports and music
Yeah,
at the
dude,
same
weren't
time.
allowed.
No, I can't skateboard, listen to music, and like the Cleveland Cavaliers. I have to just pick the two, and obviously I'm
Well,
not
in
going to
fact,
be.
hardcore might have been the only place where maybe you were allowed
Yeah.
in certain.
But
Yeah.
you kept it a secret
Yeah,
though.
you still
Like
didn't talk about it. But
my buddies in college would call all my friends from playing sports and shit like my secret jock friends, because I kept them in like a separate group. We'd play video games and play sports and shit together, and then the music kids were a separate group. But
Yeah, I mean, I was just into like the Strokes and the White Stripes, and that was just not a thing. Like you weren't talking about sports with those people who were into Kings of Leon. So eventually, there was always a twinkle of basketball. I still kind of liked playing in my backyard, and it stayed with me a little bit. And then near the end of high school, I like, fully got back into it because I was in a band with some older people who were extremely into basketball, and they were kind of like, "Dude, you know you can like both, right?" And I was like, "Oh, okay."
You sure? Thank you.
And they got me fully NBA pilled, and I've been back on basketball ever since. And I run like an NBA fanzine, which I need to make an issue for. It's overdue right now,
Well,
but
yeah.
it's like a monthly newsletter that I have like almost 200 subscribers now, so I just like send it out
Can you
once a
shout that
month.
out real fast?
Yeah,
I
we gotta get
want to
on
look
it.
it up and get on it.
Yeah, it's a association update, short sometimes shortened to ASSN up, ASSNUP.
Hell
All
yeah.
right, sorry,
Okay, dope.
UP.com,
Yeah.
ASSNUP.com.
Passing
Yeah.
up. Yeah, I like it. I like the font too.
Yeah, I do fun stuff with it. It's over the year, I've done it for like 3 years now, and it's kind of slowly morphing into like, it's like only tangentially about basketball now. I always tie it in, like what's going on, like league news, you know, but it's like mostly about like, hey, I'm on tour and this is happening in my life and this is what's going on. And it's just like, here's what I'm into right now. It's just like a basic, just a fanzine, like a
Yeah,
punk
dope.
fanzine, basically. But it's kind of about basketball too.
Love it, dude. Love it, dude. I'm fortunate to be living in Denver, and me and my girlfriend are also having our sports renaissance. I used to wake up early enough to watch SportsCenter twice the way through, like all through elementary school, middle school, and then had that falling out. But recently, falling back in love with sports altogether, we did like fantasy football league through our Discord this year, which got me just balls deep in football yet again. And so I'm really loving it, but I'm excited to check out the zine.
I was in a fantasy football league with a few music people out here some years back, but I just like, I can't, I do love watching football and I like the Vikings, but I don't have the same fire that I do for basketball. It's just not, it's not there for me. I love it as like a cultural kind of ritual, like on the Sundays, I'll have it on and it's great.
Agreed.
I love it, but I just don't quite tap in the same way.
No, I feel you. I was able to pick first in the league, and I picked Justin Jefferson. Had a stellar first couple of games, and then he got injured, and I had to pass him on. But Vikings are a good team. I like the logo. I've always liked the roster. But
I'm a Randy Moss guy. Never doubt that.
Come on, Randy.
Yeah, I don't even follow football. And Randy Moss kicks ass.
Like I've talked about this before, but like you know, not to be all traditional about it, but my mom, who's not a big sports person, like when Randy Moss is on TV, she's watching Randy Moss. Like she loved that guy. Like we all did. It was just like she describes it like poetry on TV. It was like a thing of beauty.
There's just like certain sports people that it doesn't matter what they were involved in. You were like, oh, I fuck with them. Like I wasn't like a Timberwolves guy, but I met Kevin Garnett at an airport when I was like 11, and that was like. Changed. It was a life changing experience for me.
Yeah.
And he did not want to meet us, but he still ruled. So
he's awesome. I mean, I feel like for me too, and I'm sure there's lots of people who can say the same thing I'm about to say. But like having somebody on such a massive scale popularity as Dennis Rodman was a big deal for me.
Oh yeah,
like just being any kind of alternative and like just seeing that freak play professional basketball. I was like, I saw him on TV and I was like, I want to do that. I want to be like that.
So sick. There's a video of him post-retirement yelling, talking shit from the crowd to players on the court. Just a true menace.
Yeah. No, he's amazing.
I love any post-basketball Rodman videos, to be honest with you. Him opening the Kanye shoes, yelling at players. Anything that he's doing is good by me.
Yeah, him opening the Yeezys that Kim and Kanye sent, he just grabs the box and just rips it open. Like
I haven't seen that one.
If you get a little time to see him open a shoebox, it's truly insane. Yeah, it's as insane as he's lived his life is how he does everything.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah,
Well, cool, man. I mean, tell us about having a song in Fortnite.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a dream. I mean,
hell yeah.
So cool. Sick, dude.
Fortnite is like, it's a game that I think I like playing video games. I always have, but it's mostly just been like, I kind of stopped at like, honestly, Nintendo 64 and PlayStation 2. That was kind of like, I did not keep up with video games.
It peaked then, maybe too, to a certain degree.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I still play Donkey Kong Country all the time. That's kind of like where I stopped. But, you know, COVID-19 happens and everyone's playing a lot of video games again. And I got a Discord going and it was literally like, my house at the time was very strict about the rules. Like we didn't see anyone in person for like a year. Full year, pretty much. A couple park hangs, stuff like that. But like, we did not break the rules that much. So we stayed inside, and I got like a gaming computer, basically.
Hell yeah!
And I started playing Fortnite against my wishes. I was just like, this is not going to be a fun. I'm not going to like this. Like, I hate. I didn't even know what it was really. I just thought it was like a kid's thing, and I think I had tried it once on the Switch or something, and just like. There's too much stuff going on. I don't get it. It's insane. And then, you know, I don't know if you guys play at all, but.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, there's some for everyone in there.
Yeah, and, bro.
Yeah.
Are you a controller guy or are you mouse and keyboard?
I'm mouse and keyboard.
Nice. Respect that. I played Fortnite also very heavily early on in the in COVID. I mean, I've got all the OG skins without going too deep in it. All the OG skins. I was playing on PS4 and then the PlayStation 5 came out and it was like impossible to get, so instead I bought a gaming computer and I play Valorant now. I don't play as much Fortnite, but switching over to mouse and keyboard was like, it's a game changer, dude. It opens the whole world.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just gonna say, I just want to hear about how you got the song in.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. So, yeah, I just kind of gave you the background on like my interest in the game first, and then to have that happen. But like, yeah, so like, I had a friend. Having a squad changes everything too. I think like, I had a friend, John Berkner, shout out Dozer, who like, he's the best teacher ever, and he just like. Just showed me how fun the game can be and how silly it is too, and like the emotes and everything, and just like that's kind of what drew me in, and like getting into it. It's like there's like the dancing emotes, like there's Drake is in here, like all this super goofy stuff, and the skins and all that stuff. And I was like, all right, this is actually pretty fun. And everyone thinks you're not going to spend money on it, and then he's like, oh wait, there is a Ghostbuster skin. I do want that. Whatever it is. Something like that. Anyway, I kept playing, and yeah, getting on mouse and keyboard made it so much easier. But anyway, actually, it's funny. I don't know. I don't want to name drop too much or put anyone on blast. But I'll leave you with this little tidbit. Like we kind of got in Fortnite via the Drop 19s.
Oh, word.
I Interesting.
can't go into further detail on the record.
Okay.
It
I'll tell you
makes it so
later.
much more interesting that
I
way,
know.
anyway.
I know. Just leave it there. But like, it's kind of through the Drop 19, so we got on Fortnite. But somehow, somebody who works at Epic Games is a fan of the band, and I'm guessing they knew that I play and stream myself playing fairly regularly. So they probably knew this was going to be easy money. Like, I mean, we got paid and stuff, but like, it wasn't a difficult sell. Like I would have done
You were down to do it.
So yeah, they hit us up and, hey, this is so and so from Epic Games wondering if I'm just like, yep, we're in. Yeah. It's like not even telling what the price is. Like
We're good.
and they picked a song and yeah, that's really what happened.
That's
That's
so
so
sick,
sick.
dude. Like when Timothy told me, I was like, no, that's not. Are you serious?
We were sitting here talking about it today, and I was like, yeah, I think they got a song in like Fortnite recently, which seems wild. But I mean,
Dude,
that,
the post that I made when we were able to announce it like got so much traction. Like I remember our label A&R was like, what is this game that you guys are in? Like, why do people care so much? And I'm like, dude, don't try to understand it. Just go with it.
It's just cool. I mean, there's like a certain, like, if I could combine all my interests and I could somehow have gotten a song into Counter-Strike when I was into it, that would have been the best thing that could have happened. That would have been like half the goal if I knew I could have done that.
Well, also, like, not to get too deep into it, but like the fact that it's happening during the Peter Griffin season is like an even bigger
Even
deal to
better.
me, because I'm a huge Family Guy fan. Everyone knows I love Family Guy, and there's been so much buildup. I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but like, there's been a lot of rumors and buildup around Peter getting into the game, and it finally happened. And then to have our song happen,
At the same
like
time,
it's insane. Yeah.
it just all hit at once.
All hit at once. Yeah,
I heard
it
they switched
was.
back. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's it.
I heard they switched back to the OG map. Is that true?
They did for one season, and actually, I was on tour when that happened. I didn't even play a
Oh,
single
damn.
match, and I also wasn't playing, I don't think, when the OG map was happening. So I wouldn't have. It wouldn't have been lost on me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I came
So,
into it like a
do you
few
play
years later.
games on tour? Do you switch it up or anything?
Yep, we have a few switches we bring with us, and honestly, I play a little bit in the van, but more so, what I like to have the switch for is like when we get a, we'll get a hotel once in a while. We stay at a lot of friends' houses too, but like if we're at a hotel, I'm setting up the dock and like we're playing like four player,
Fuck yeah.
Smash Bros. Something like that, or Mario Kart. That's where the gaming comes in.
I just got a Switch this year from a kid in our Discord, sold it to me used. And back to what you were saying about N64, I had a Sega Genesis, but I never had an N64, but I always viewed it as like the pinnacle of like wealth, and it felt super exclusive. So first thing I did was download like it's like the retro pack. You get
Wave
like
Runner.
Mario 64 and shit, and I'm pretty deep in Mario 64, and it felt like I'm living a childhood that I never had, specifically playing that game, and I've
The
been
game
really
is
hooked.
amazing. I have a lot of very core memories playing Mario 64. I will say that the 64 stuff on Switch is awesome, but like if you don't have the real controller, it's just not the same.
No, I agree. That controller was freaky, but it also kind of made it made it.
Yeah, and I like when they announced the 64 thing. I like they also released a couple. They released N64 controllers for Switch,
Oh, dang.
wireless versions, and I like they were sold out for like a year, and I just like. You know, I was trying to play the Zelda games, and it's like, oh, to press up C, you have to like hold the left trigger
Oh,
and
it's a pain in the
press up
ass,
on
yeah.
the. I'm just like, this isn't cool, you know.
Yeah.
So I play N64 on my computer. I have an emulator and stuff like
Oh,
that.
nice.
I have like a controller adapter for that. So.
What's so wild is I've been doing some of the N64 emulation. I have a 4-year-old daughter, and it hits for them the same. Doesn't matter that the graphics aren't as good. Doesn't matter. Like, it hits the same way. There's something about some of those, like, classic ones that, like, it doesn't matter what age you come at them, like, how things have changed, hits just as hard.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'll
So
love to hear
sick.
that. Yeah, it's funny talking about like seeing it as the pinnacle of wealth too, because I couldn't we got one for Christmas, the 64, and like I remember playing GoldenEye like the day we got it and just thinking like this is the most realistic graphics are ever gonna be. There's no way they can improve
Not
upon
getting better
this.
from here. I mean, to be honest with you, it's not, they're definitely, obviously graphics are better, but it isn't as light years as you'd assume going like 20, 30 years
Yeah,
away from
considering
it.
how long ago
It's
it
still
was,
like,
yeah.
it holds up. The gameplay still kicks ass. I mean, it's no different than what I was, what I'm doing now. It just looks a little worse. Music's
Yeah, I
better.
mean, yeah,
Hooked
well,
people
that's
harder.
debatable. But I think I saw a chart about this, some infographic at some point. It's like every generation of gaming consoles, even though it's getting so much better, it's like to our eye, we can't really tell. I don't know, the human can't really like perceive how much better it's getting. It's just kind of all seems crazy now.
I mean, have you
But
seen some of that, like, ultra realistic shit that I've seen on, like, YouTube and stuff, where it's like, it's also getting to the point where I'm not sure I want it as real as
well, they
we've.
released that Unreal Engine, I believe, is like
Yeah,
the
it's like one of
new
those
one with
test
it's a bunch
things.
of new physics and shit, and
Feels a
it's
little too much
yeah.
for me.
Well, yeah, it's
Maybe I'm
like, you
getting
know,
older too. Maybe that's
no, it's
the.
like Fortnite has the goofy element and it's still kind of cartoony. I think that's what I want from a video game. I don't really want to have real life happen on the video screen. I want to like, you know,
Play a game.
yeah, I want to play a game.
Well, honestly, like, I started falling off during, because I guess this isn't that far, but I was like super into like Metal Gear and all that. But then when people started playing like Call of Duty games, I really, that was my fall off from, like, everything's gray and brown. I can't see anything. I didn't want to go to World War II. That wasn't something I was interested in. I'm glad I didn't live during that time. So it's like, why are we? I don't need this. And then it just felt like, I mean, I guess to be fair, I was playing Counter-Strike before that. But that was also like mostly like land-based. Like we went to a putt-putt golf in games. That's what it was called. And we'd all sit in this one room that had park benches, and it was only red lighting, so it'd keep bugs out or something. And then that's where we would bring big monitors and
That's
towers in and play. So it was like, yeah, it was a little more
amazing.
realistic, but there was like a camaraderie that was happening that was separate from everything else.
I mean, the social element is huge for me. I mean, I do play single player games, but like, Among Us is like a great example. You know, we loved hanging out. That was a good hangout game.
That is a fun. I mean, that's also, were you doing, like, I feel like I watched a lot of people stream that too, and it was like, it's fun to like watch people interact with the game differently too, which is, something you miss when you're not, like, I mean, I used to love like watching, I didn't play a bunch of the horror games, but I used to love like watching my friends play like Silent Hill and shit, just because it was Resident Evil, just because it was as
Totally.
fun as watching a movie.
Yeah, I mean, if you would have told me that I would have enjoyed watching Twitch streams before I started it, I would not have believed you, but there is something, I don't know, something fun about it, something comforting about it, just watching someone enjoy a video game.
Well, it's like, you used to sit with your buddies and you'd just be like quiet for an hour and occasionally say random things. And like, I feel like a lot of good conversations came out of that. So it sort of makes sense to me. It's no different than listening to a podcast, which is just people kind of rambling and talking,
Totally.
amongst themselves. I get it.
I don't think playing Fortnite is that crazy different than playing a game of cards with your friends. You know, it's same category.
Just kind of turn your brain off for a little bit, having light conversation.
Yeah.
I feel like people should do more of it, if anything. I feel like sometimes I think about it, and you're like, if you could get, like, I bet you could, like, help dementia patients if you got them all into a room and got them into, like, a fortnight. Now, I understand there's a learning curve, but anyone can learn anything. You get them into that, there's a social, like, for example, I cheated on every typing thing that I ever did in school. Like, when they'd put the cover over the keyboards, couldn't see, and you had to type everything out. Just cheated, just, like, lean different ways so I could just look at what it was, typed with only two fingers. Couldn't type for shit when I finished those classes. But then as soon as like AIM got popular, I'm like, oh, I'll figure it out now. And then it's like, and you figure it out. You like socially figure it out. It's like a nice thing. And I think that like sometimes like adults sort of like take that piece out of the puzzle of like, you know, it's just violent video games. I'm like, yeah, I guess, but that's not really like your brain's like not doing that gymnastics really. You know what I mean? You're just sort of hanging out with your friends and fucking around and turn your brain off for a little while. It's nice.
Just to bring it full circle, my typing journey began with Mario teaches typing.
So oh, yeah, there you go. yeah, that would have been way cooler. We'd had some off-brand
Wait, I like one. Vaguely remember this.
You did
it's,
that?
It's just like Mario's going through. It's like playing Super Mario World, but like you just have to type correctly for him to do all the things you want him to do. Like type a sentence and he'll like hit the box and jump on the enemy type of thing.
Huh.
Honestly, very effective for me at that time. I was like, my mom's not allowed to play Mario, but I can do this typing thing and
scratch the same itch.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, are you going to go on tour pretty soon then?
Yep, we're leaving March 13th. Start our US tour. Starts in Pittsburgh, goes through the Midwest, then down the West Coast, across the South, and up the East Coast. So, 4 weeks of that.
Coming to Denver at all? I have the tour dates pulled up, but it looks like it's from what has already passed.
I don't think there's any Colorado on this tour. But
I think a lot of people skip Colorado because otherwise you got to go.
It makes
over
sense.
The
I
mountains
mean,
and shit too.
There's really not shit east or west or north of Denver. Like, Salt Lake would probably be the closest, and Salt Lake's still like pretty much a day's drive from where we are. So.
And we always hear from comedians that we've interviewed and bands that we've interviewed where it's like Denver either hits for people or it does not hit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not anti-Denver, but I have not spent a lot of time there. I have not played that. I don't think I played any super memorable shows. No offense. The show with Quicksand was cool. That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a super fan in Denver. I'm not going to lie. We have a super fan who.
Sick. Okay.
He, every single announcement we make, he's like, Denver win. It's just like he got the Cartwheel album art tattooed like a week after it came out.
Fuck yeah.
Like, and he came to the Quicksand show and showed me. He's really nice, actually. He was a little freaking me out a little bit from Instagram, but then like meeting in person he was totally chill.
He's chill.
So
like a very
just so you know, if you hear this, Beck, I rock with you, man. But yeah, might be doing Denver later this year. I think there's something in the works. I can't say more than that. But
well, we'll come out.
Link up. Yeah.
Love to see you.
So do you have any other cities that you really like to be in that aren't like hometowns?
That I like to be in currently.
Yeah.
For touring.
We just did a tour in Florida, and it's funny, the first time. And second time I played in Miami, I was like, dude, I love this city. I want to move here.
Miami's kind of tight.
last time I played there, it was kind of a bust. I don't know, something changed, or maybe it was just the show. It was kind of a colder day.
Yeah.
But before that, I would have said Miami.
Florida's got kind of a good punk scene, so I feel like, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Portland, Maine is a city I like being in quite a bit.
Oh, I've been to Portland, Maine, yeah.
Yeah, we only played one show there, but the show was fine, but I just like the vibe of the city a lot.
Yeah, what is it about that it hit? I've been there actually I used to work in like handmade shoes, and they do like a ton of that near Portland, Maine. So we'd stay there, and it is like a unique place. What about it hit for you?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of a mix of, you know, small town vibes, but still bustling metropolis. Like, I feel the same way about Providence. I kind of love Providence.
Okay, yeah, totally. Yeah, I get it.
I don't love nautical stuff, but both of those cities do have a nautical element.
A lot of ropes.
Yeah.
A lot of steering
anchors,
wheels.
You know.
Yeah. I love Montreal, you know.
Oh, word.
Know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I love Montreal, too. That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm just thinking North America right now. But, I mean, once you get into Europe, then it's like, we could talk all day, but
What do you, I've read before this or somewhere, I don't know what, it was an interview, I think, that you're a coast to coast guy. Is that true?
I do, yeah. I like coast to coast a lot.
Yeah, we're like super fans. We love
I
coast
just
to
got
coast.
hip, yeah.
Yeah, are you guys are you rocking with George Norrie at all? Are you curious with Art Bell, or what's the vibe?
I mean, I'm an Art Bell guy for sure, just because that's what I kind of, that's what I was into, like when I got into it. And then like, that's what, you know, I don't remember where it's at now. Someone had like all of the episodes ever posted on it, was like, you know, it was like a page that was only like code, but you could click and listen to the links. So I went, you know, when I commuted in Chicago every single day, it was like an hour and a half both ways. And it's like all I listened to was like Art Bell shit. So I feel like I'm a huge Art Bell guy, but I'll do the new stuff too. I'm open to whatever. I'm just not as, I mean, the problem is now that like podcasting's got so popular, a lot of those like talk shows have gotten taken over by like more of the like high investigation podcasts and stuff like that, which are also good, I think, some of them. But yeah, I do miss the like, I miss a talk show element. I miss like a
dude.
call-in show
A
element.
call. I need a call-in show. And actually, I don't know if you knew this, I ran a call-in show on Twitch for a
Oh
while.
shit. That's so
What was it around?
It was called Isolation Mode, and I have YouTube links that I can send you
Oh,
guys.
please. Hell yeah, dude.
Absolutely.
Was it like just
But
purely like whatever anyone wants to call in, or was there like a focus?
I had topics. I did. This is like deep lockdown times. Like,
Yeah, hell yeah.
and it was like we had a pretty good following. It was just like originally I just did it on Instagram. I would just literally, I had a Google Voice number set up on my laptop, and like I just kind of parked the phone, pointed at me, and you can put like one graphic on there. I would like have a topic, and like people could call in the Google Voice number, and we would just talk about stuff, and like an hour at a time. And it was really fun. I really miss it. Kind of thinking about bringing it back because I've gotten a lot better at I started doing Twitch after that, and I figured out how to like make it look cool and fun, and now I realized they just opened up Instagram, so you can like have like streaming software run through it. So, could be fun. I don't know.
What is like, what is some of like the, were you getting like, was it like advice stuff, or were you getting like creepy stuff? What was the vibe?
It was like I would pick a topic like what was you who what was the first cigarette you ever smoked? Tell me the story of
Oh, there
that,
we go.
yeah,
You know.
fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Or any celebrity encounters you've had, or time you got in trouble with your school, whatever.
These are
Just
really good.
yeah.
yeah.
If you could share the
Yeah,
links
those are really
in our
good.
email thread, that would be
I
absolutely
will.
stellar.
We definitely did a Halloween episode where people would call in like real life scary stories. That was a great episode. We did like a double episode that night. And
What was the scariest one? Give us like a synopsis.
there's a few that I still think about. Are you familiar with the band Mama? Yeah, Allegra from Mama called in, and she told not her story, but her mom had an encounter with God, what's his name? The Night Stalker in California. Yeah.
Whoa. This is
That
all my
was pretty
interests in
crazy.
one place.
Yeah. I have that YouTube video of her telling that story. I'm sure I
Richard
can find it.
Ramirez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so fucked.
So that
They're
was
so good
cool.
too. So that rules.
Yeah, there's a couple pretty creepy ones, and I love people's like telling their scary stories. So
Yeah, same. That
that was a
that's
good
why
one.
I got into Coast to Coast. Timbo actually turned me on to it. There's like an archive of like on Spotify, they update it pretty daily, like hundreds of episodes now. And I started
Make it
with
so
the
much easier
Mel's
to use.
Hole saga, if
Oh
you're
yeah,
familiar with that one. And
that's like the entry point.
man, I really am. I want to find that
Yeah.
hole first
Coast
off.
is awesome. What are the fans called? I don't remember.
Oh shit, I'm not gonna get it. It's right there, but I'm not. I know I don't have it.
Anyway, yeah, I was on tour like in the mid to 2010s, and one of my friends, Jen, who's in the Courtney, not to keep name dropping, Jen from the Courtneys. If you listen to this, shout out Jen. She's like a major Coast to Coast fan, and got me hooked on it. We spent a lot of late night drives just like running old episodes on that. And from there, I also got into Classic Loveline, which is another call-in
Oh
show.
yeah, so
And
good.
those, yeah, I listen to them still all the time. I'm going to bed. It's like my favorite thing to like just fall asleep, listen to people talk. But yeah, to get back to the original point, the call-in element is crucial, and that's been lost. I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, just no. I mean, I know there's like a few. I mean, there's obviously like more modern takes on it, like with Twitch and, you know, like stuff you're talking about, people using Instagram, social media to do it. But like classic Colin, I mean, like, you know, I was like a big best show guy,
yep.
And then you know, from the comedy standpoint, and then I loved Loveline, like a very visceral reaction to like when you said that, like, of I had like a boombox that had the radio and I'd have to get it just right, yep. And I would do that like really late at night with headphones on, so my parents wouldn't hear me because I was definitely too young to be listening to Loveline, but like. Yep. Love it. Like, and I feel like a lot of like my interest in like podcasts now is like, unfortunately, not a lot of Colin, but
yeah.
But even so, like, I think it came from that like early like radio thing. But there was just like an element, like a slowness that was about those shows where you're just like hoping for that nugget. You know what I mean? That would be like, oh yeah, a freak called in.
Yeah,
and it was just
yeah.
Because
there's lots of boring calls, but it's just kind of like the vibe of it. It's kind of like we're just hanging out, just talking. Yeah. Whatever happens, happens. Sometimes it's amazing radio. Sometimes it's kind of dull. But,
yeah. And the sound quality is stellar. Like, there's just something comforting about it. It's just fuzzy and old school radio personality voice and stuff too. Like,
totally. I've picked up a lot of stuff from. I think we did like a stereo gun piece where they're asking about.
That might have been where I saw it. I was skimming through it and I saw Coast to Coast. I'm like, ooh, a Coast to Coast guy. Here we go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because like I think the three I mentioned were Coast, Loveline, and Jim Rome was like another hero.
Yeah.
Like the way he like interacts with his fans, and like he can be like halfway through a commercial before you realize he's talking at a commercial. He's like doing a commercial. I'm just like, oh, this guy's amazing. Like, he's just like he's hilarious. I don't know.
There's like on your feetness that guys that were good at that doesn't need to. I mean, there can be a good podcaster, a good person that's doing radio in some way, but like to do live calling and be able to like wrangle that is another talent that I don't know how you even develop other than just doing it a shitload.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. That's crazy. All right, man. Well, this has been fucking awesome. I really appreciate you coming on and doing the podcast with us. This rules.
Sure.
Where all can people come? Obviously on tour. You've got the new record. Where else can they get you at?
Instagram, assandup.com has everything.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Everything, Will, Hotline, Association Update. It's all there. All the news gets there first. So that's where I keep posting stuff.
Cool, man. Well, I hope a bunch of people check you out. Like I said, we've been, you know, fans for a long, long time. So we're so stoked on the new stuff. And it sounds like you guys got demos coming, you know, so you guys are working on new things. So, you know, we're lifers. So this has been really cool to talk to you, man, and appreciate you taking the time, and hope a bunch of people check you out. So appreciate
Thanks
it.
So much for having me.
Yeah, of course, bro. We'll talk soon. All right, man.
Cool. Bye.
Super.